Today's reading is Exodus 4, I've got 27 to 7:13, and it's, as it says, page 61 in the Pew Bibles. Page 61. The Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had sent him to say, and also about all the signs he had commanded him to perform. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us make the 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said, "Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work." Then Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now numerous. Why are you stopping them from working?" That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people: "You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies." Then the slave drivers and the overseers went out and said to the people, "This is what Pharaoh says: I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all." So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, "Complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw." And Pharaoh's slave drivers beat the Israelite overseers that they had appointed, demanding, "Why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before?" Then the Israelite overseers went and appealed to Pharaoh, "Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, 'Make bricks.' Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people." Pharaoh said, "Lazy, that's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks." The Israelite overseers realized that they were in trouble when they were told, "You are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you from each day." When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, "May the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on these people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon his people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord. I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, I say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Then the Lord said to Moses, Go tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country. But Moses said to the Lord, If the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips? Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he commanded them to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. These were the heads of their families. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn son of Israel, were Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi. These were the clans of Reuben. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Sheol, the son of a Canaanite woman. These were the clans of Simeon. These were the names of the sons of Levi, according to their records: Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Levi lived 137 years. The sons of Gershon by clans were Libni and Shemei. The sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. Kohath lived 133 years. The sons of Merari were Mahli and Mushi. These were the clans of Levi according to their records. Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses. Amram lived 137 years. The sons of Izhar were Korah, Nepheg, and Zichri. The sons of Uzziel were Mishael, Elzaphan, and Sithri. Aaron married Elisheba, daughter of Aminadab and sister of Nashon, and she bore him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. The sons of Korah were Asher, Alkanah, and Abiasaph. These were the Korahite clans. Eleazar, son of Aaron, married one of the daughters of Putiel, and she bore him Phinehas. These were the heads of the Levite families, clan by clan. It was this Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, Bring the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions. They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing the Israelites out of Egypt, this same Moses and Aaron. Now when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you. But Moses said to the Lord, Since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me? Then the Lord said to Moses, See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Perform a miracle,' then say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake.'" So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord had commanded. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned the wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the river. Confront him on the bank of the Nile and take in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. Then say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. But until now, you have not listened. This is what the Lord says. By this you will know that I am the Lord. With the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed into blood.'" This is the word of the Lord.
President Joe Biden is 80 years old, and he's considering running again to embark on another term in the White House. Should he go for it? The Lord called Moses, 80 years of age. He was reluctant. The Lord told him he could do it, but appointed his elder brother to help him. If you're still breathing, consider ourselves on call for the Lord. Did or did we not sing, "I live to serve your majesty"? So we pick up the story of Exodus from last week. Let's recap. God has said to Moses, "I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the enslaved and suffering Israelites, out of Egypt." And if that does not already look impossible, he adds, "But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go." So as we read this week, Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. That was task one. Talk to the Israelites. Afterwards, with the Israelites cheering them on, Moses and Aaron set off for task two, to meet Pharaoh for the first time. He said to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." There were lots of gods in Egypt, and none of them can tell me what to do. The God you speak of, I've never heard of him. I am the most powerful man and God. So vexed by the audacious request for a three-day holiday, he sees an opportunity to punish them for this and one at the same time to address a long-running problem, the growing Hebrew population. Two birds with one stone. I'll work them harder than ever. So bricks without straw. Now the heading "bricks without straw" on its own could be misleading. The Hebrews did not make bricks without straw. Instead, they were no longer supplied with straw and had to take time and effort to collect and prepare their own straw while still producing the same number of bricks. Straw helped to dry the mud bricks in the sun, and straw added strength and stability in much the same way as steel rods are used in concrete today. If straw were not added, the bricks would break and crumble. So in withdrawing the supply of straw by Egyptians, Pharaoh uses an iron fist against the Hebrews, his response much harder than anyone imagined. He punishes the Hebrew slaves, and somewhat Egypt as a whole. Beatings were doled out, but he was demanding the impossible. Brick production fell. The Hebrew slaves were physically shattered, and their faith shattered. How might our faith withstand a very tough time? The plight of the Israelites has moved from very bad to very much worse. What misery! Who has caused it? Pharaoh? No, he wasn't having it. The fault is with your own people. No one dare argue with the Pharaoh. So the blame deflected. The Hebrews are now in the faces of Moses and Aaron. You are failures. Now Moses could have said, Aaron told you everything the Lord told us, and you were right behind us. Under the pressure of his people turning against him, they said, may the Lord judge you. You are on your own now. And Moses took the failure stamp on his heart. Moses returned to the Lord. He could have said, why, God, didn't you soften Pharaoh's heart? Then I could persuade him. He didn't. He poured out his heart in conversation. Why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. So what's Moses saying? Did you set me up to fail? Where's this going, Lord? So God repeated his promise of deliverance. Yet again, Moses, look and keep looking beyond the troubles of this time to the mighty deliverance that I promise. God never fails. Moses hadn't failed, though it felt like it. He had done what God had told him to do. Don't we all fall into that despondent pit, being short-sighted? We see Moses many times in prayer. Because he's a failure? Well, not in today's passage. Because he's weak? Yes, he needs God to give him strength and reassurance. We are all weak and very limited in what we can achieve. Moses keeps going back to the Lord in prayer. More prayer because we are weak? Well, what of it? God never tires of a conversation with us. He's never too busy. No matter how many times, he'll always be waiting. So in today's passage, was Moses getting anywhere? Were there any signs of progress? Well, we may have noticed there was a genealogy in there, and genealogies in Scripture establish credentials and authority. I'm aware that Moses may have written the book of Exodus, but nevertheless, it is the inspired word of God. So we can see that Moses and Aaron, by this time, are very remarkable names in God's story. On to chapter 7, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet." As God transmits his words through his prophets, speaking God's words on God's behalf, so Moses will transmit God's message through his prophet, Aaron, to the Pharaoh. God made Moses like God to Pharaoh. In other words, a powerful person who deserved to be listened to. Pharaoh himself was considered a god, so he recognized Moses as one of his peers, though less mighty than himself. To seek further audiences with Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron would need that high regard from Pharaoh. Moving on to verse 4, the sticks and snakes contest. Staffs turning into serpents is a perplexing episode, either through sleight of hand or by means of demonic power. Pharaoh's magicians were able to duplicate Aaron's miracle of turning a staff into a snake. It would make me shudder, but see how quickly the power of God devoured all the power in opposition, whatever it was. In that room, sense the disquiet, the unease with everyone, excepting the two Hebrews. Now, at this page in the book of Exodus, Moses and Aaron are failures in Israel's eyes. Israel is even more oppressed. Moses and Aaron have made an impression with Pharaoh. God has given Pharaoh a tiny, tiny glimpse of his supreme power. So in summary, Moses and Aaron are faithful. They carried out what God asked them to do, and deliverance has been promised. Success was not demanded, just faithfulness. And the key verse is verse 6. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Did just as the Lord commanded them. Failures? By no means. When God appoints you, he anoints you. They were faithful. Do we fear failure? Are we worried that we might not succeed? Do we have our own little pharaohs? Not of the magnitude in our reading, nothing so epic. I'm thinking big or small situations where we are reluctant to get involved. Or sometimes it might be right to stay out of uncomfortable scenes. Sometimes it might be so. Are we conscious that we may have failed in the past? That might be how we play things back in our memory. Tried something, but it didn't, no fruit to see. Some seeds can remain dormant for a very long time, and we may never see the harvest. We know that failures likely come from flawed plans and from our foolish choices. We all make them. The Lord would very much like us to take these to him and hear all our joys and sorrows, the best and worst of times. We'll do that in a moment. God has shown his power, mighty deliverance, bringing his people from slavery. At Calvary, Golgotha, delivering all his people from sin. And God will show his might, almighty power when Jesus returns. So let us not be short-sighted, but look beyond the immediate and see Jesus coming again. Let's be faithful to the end. He may or may not give us successes. He doesn't ask for them. He asks for faithfulness. Amen.